Please play our intro music for Ben.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
And Ben Cochran, the Bankster Breaker. How are you doing today?
Sean, it's always an honor to be on your show. Doing well. Can't believe it's October already.
Oh, I know. Time is just flying by. I keep looking at Liam. You know, he's six now, and I'm just blown away. Where did 6 years go, man? We were all doing radio way back in the day when Liam was just coming around and going through his open heart surgery and all that stuff. But time is just flying.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's a blessing. We haven't had thermonuclear war or total biological attack. The world continues to turn. Let's put some good news to start the show. But we do have a lot to talk about, like you were discussing.
Yeah, there is a lot to talk about. And, you know, right now, I think the biggest thing on everybody's radar is this investigation into the impeachment of Trump. What's your take on all this?
Well, first off, I really absolutely believe 98%+ chance it's not going to be successful. It's just a political game, and they know that. If they tactically, and I'm no political expert, I suppose, but if they wanted to go this route, they probably should have done so earlier, like a year or so ago. I thought they would have more momentum to do more damage, and actually maybe a slightly better chance to get the impeachment. But obviously, you know, with election season coming up, I think this is just to throw a whole bunch of muck into the machine and just distract people from other really important events, financial, geopolitical, and otherwise.
Yeah, a lot of political posturing going on and saber rattling.
Absolutely. And man, I don't know. It's hard for me to even listen to it half the time anymore. I did the pompous ass remark about Romney was hilarious, and Trump has a lot of quotables. But even he and his people in his administration, it's hard for me to hear them even rebuke these attacks, even though I'm mostly on their side with regard to this being a fraud. Still, I know that they're up to shady stuff anyway, and overall, they're still marching America and the world into a technocracy takeover, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, full technocracy takeover. The big tech giants, these are one of the big problems in America. And I think it was recently here, one of the Democrats came out and talked about Facebook. And Facebook is now Mr. Greenberg, as we call him here, because that's his, it's not Zuckerberg. He is a Rothschild, a Rockefeller, rather. And the Greenbergs are closely tied to them. But he's threatened to sue if the government takes any action against Facebook for being a monopoly, more or less.
And I really honestly forgot where I heard this, but one of the podcasts, I listen to a lot of different podcasts throughout the week, as always, and of course your show as well, and they were stating that the Facebooks and Googles of the world and Apple, et cetera, Microsoft, are kind of the new 21st century Wall Street, that they may have just as much or potentially more, and in the future, almost certainly more power than the Wall Street banks, because guess what? They have all the data, and the data is useful for financial purposes and even more. So it's like Wall Street 2.0 in Silicon Valley.
Yeah. And they are all ripe for an antitrust suit. You know, I was listening the other day too, talking about Google and their contract with Big Pharma, and the fact that YouTube is, censoring, Facebook is censoring, many of the social medias are censoring any critical questioning of vaccines and Big Pharma. They don't want that out there because they have huge advertising contracts. In fact, Google is approaching, it's about $677 million a contract with Big Pharma.
Yep. And I talk about this on my show. I know you do as well. We have not just the influence domestically, but the international influence, but I'm specifically referring to China, where South Park, I still love my South Park, watching that. They had a great episode this past week about Hollywood just selling its soul to China, doing whatever the Chinese censors do. But obviously, that's just one small part compared to Google helping to build the Great Firewall and the whole social credit score going on in China. So the technocracy here in America is beta testing overseas.
Right. It certainly is. In fact, you know, we're going to see these social credit scores coming to social media near you very, very soon, and it's a little concerning. I saw an article recently that said they want to use social credit scores to determine whether or not you can buy a firearm.
Yeah, I did see that. That was like, All right, it's coming, it's coming. You know, they're putting their feelers out there. But hopefully folks have already armed themselves and getting their preps together too. But yeah, obviously just assume go forward. Anything you do is absolutely being watched, even if you think it's an anonymous transaction. It is being watched. Sorry to break the news. I know a lot of people understand that, but you really got to be cognizant of that.
You know, and Sue is set to return, but I heard that Sebastian wasn't involved. Hoping, and Sebastian did, I read something by him that said he's hoping that they don't completely abandon the platform as the way he had it. He's really hoping that they keep it going in such a manner. So Sue may come back, man. It may be kind of cool.
I love that format because, first off, I didn't experience any censorship, number one. Certainly nothing compared to Facebook and Twitter. Number two, you get paid for it. I didn't make a ton of money, but about $150 over 4 or 5 months. And that was just literally networking with folks, sharing memes, sharing websites, all in the quote unquote good fight. But there's a lot of other stuff that was fun on Sue too, you know, entertaining, a little lighter than the topics we cover. It was a shame to see it go. I don't know if it's viable, you know, the monopoly of it's really, you know, oligopoly of Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, etc. It's really hard for someone to break through and actually be profitable. So I'm not sure if that business model will actually work, but I'm rooting for them.
Well, apparently they have the investors to back them, so I'm looking forward to it. If they do come back, I mean, Beth and I made nearly $1,000 off, wow, you know, 6 or 7 months running Sue, you know, just using social media, getting paid. I thought that was an awfully cool cool setup they had going on over there. Hey, lots going on in the news when it comes to climate change and the climate crazies. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, but, you know, CNN is now pushing during some of these town hall meetings for global eugenics, trillions in spending, no beef. You know, they're looking at advocating global abortions, $16 trillion in new government spending to not only manipulate what you eat, but to spend on climate change, fighting climate change. This is getting crazy. And, you know, Anderson Cooper calling out Joe Biden because his plan only calls for $1.7 trillion in spending, while Bernie Sanders is talking about $16 trillion in spending. This is highly concerning. You know, what are your thoughts on this whole stupid Ponzi scheme fiasco BS?
I have a lot of thoughts. I'm going to start with the children because we must save the children, and you probably saw that. But what I'm talking about is I specifically remember I am 34 years old, so I would say about 25 years ago in the mid-90s in elementary school, we had a small sample of the type of guilt tripping they put the children through these days with, hey, you know, the electricity uses is bad. When you flush the toilet, you're killing fish. Save water, you know. It wasn't super hardcore compared to what I've seen and what I'm sure these kids are going through today. But when they had that kind of climate change walkout and they had Greta go to the UN and just give everybody the stink eye, like, look, I want the children to preserve the planet and be good stewards and do better than we have and our, you know, parents, etc. But the guilt tripping really will mess these kids up in the future and essentially make them vulnerable for a socialist takeover.
Well, yeah. And I mean, journalists and even politicians know that panic sells. You know, as global cooling is going to kill us, global warming is going to kill us, climate change is going to kill us, everything's going to kill us. It's all about, I mean, it's like this, you know, this kindergarten fight. It's like, come on. And then you want a $16.7 trillion. First of all, where's the money going to come from?
Yeah.
Number two, we know government doesn't do anything well. The money's going to be misappropriated. It's just a big theft scheme.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's so many ways to go with this, but I think what I want to focus on is the kind of pseudo-intellectual pat yourself on the back. We closed some coal plants here in America. We outsourced XYZ. We've lowered our carbon emissions. But guess what? All of those have gone over to India or China, you know, as the main examples, but many other countries as well. And they have essentially no pollution standards, no basic cleaning and regulatory structure where they're able to prevent some of the easy pollutants from getting out. So point is, even those that are trying to do well, and especially, and this kind of goes back to what I was talking about with the children, in 10, 20, 30 years, they're going to have this guilt complex and they're going to want to do well, but, and they're going to pat themselves on the back when they elect someone or they get, they're able to get some new regulations, a new Green Deal come in. Hey, we saved the world. But guess what? That's just not going to fly in the third world, and they're going to pollute the earth just as bad, if not worse, because of this. So no one's looking at it at the big picture.
Yeah, I would certainly agree. And it is funny that panic sells. They keep pulling these things on us, and they get everybody. It's just fear mongering, pure and simple. You know, we look at the global taxing scheme, carbon taxes. You know, they're going to start charging us just for living, breathing, farting, and whatnot. this is just absolutely insane to me. Now, but I'm becoming increasingly alarmed by some of the off-the-rails lunacy of the climate crazies. I mean, it just is crazy. And I'm going to play a clip here. I'm going to talk a little bit about it, and I'm going to give you both sides of it.
Okay.
But this was recently at a town hall meeting with AOC in Corona, New York. I've dubbed it Eat the Babies.
But we're not going to be here for much long because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel is not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this: we got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you know, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you really support a new Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies. And this is very serious. Please give a response. Okay,
thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. We'll go ahead.
Now, clearly AOC was stunned by this, and whether or not she was a troll, this video has gone viral at this AOC town hall meeting. There's a organization called La Roche. They're dubbed as a far right supporters of Donald Trump. They've taken credit for this stunt. She may have just been a troll, and it was said that it was being staged. But the article that says that is also really hitting hard at Trump and the environmental. It's just crazy. But this is how far some of these people are going. And whether she's trying to illustrate the craziness of the New Green Deal and AOC, or whether she was mentally ill, or whether she was real, we don't really know.
I presume it was. First off, it was a really good acting job if it was a plant, and I believe it was. But what that first like two-thirds of that, I have a feeling 80%+ of the people in the room believe that it was real and were like, you're right, getting rid of fossil fuels won't be enough. You know, bombing Russia or et cetera won't be enough. And then when she said eating babies, they were like, maybe eating the dead and banning meat and eating insects will work. Maybe she's a little extreme. And then I think eventually people probably realize this is a plant. But I think a lot of people were agreeing with her most of the time there.
Yeah, and that's scary that people are even thinking that. And the reason I point out that these people are, many people are believing him, is that they're calling for these global abortions. We're already killing I think there's 300,000 abortions in America this year alone. It just blows me away, Ben.
It's disgusting. Some of these people are well-meaning and brainwashed, as I've talked about, even from since they were children. But some of them are just straight up psychopathic and sociopathic, and that's what really where the money comes in when they come up with these tax schemes and these renewable energy credits. Listen, I love renewable energy, but getting the government involved, first off, doesn't work and is inefficient, as you said earlier. But second, we know and we've seen and it's been proven tons of fraud, tons of corruption involved with this. And anything that the UN is involved in, you know, that's a red flag right there.
Yeah. And especially when it comes to Greta Thunberg, they're using this child. I wonder how much she's getting paid, but she is the poster child now for climate change. And I think it's diabolical using this kid this way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he said it best. It's just, but they have no qualms. They kill millions and millions of babies every decade in war and famine. probably every year in war and famine worldwide. So why would they care about getting some redhead and putting her up there and make everyone feel guilty? They, of course not.
Yeah, and they want to get people no more beef, no more cattle ranches. How's that going to affect the economy? And then also, how's it going to affect people's health? It's going to go get better, I guarantee it, which is going to further make the population boom a problem. So they're not. I don't think they're thinking this very well through.
Well, the thing that I – and this is where your show really gets into these type of topics, and I somewhat delve into them, but not as much as you at all. What kind of advanced technology have they been holding back from us the last 50 plus years? We could have all these, we could have twice, three times, 10 times the standard of living worldwide and half the pollution if we had access to some of these technologies, but we know for a fact they're not going to give it to us.
Yeah. You know, another thing that's been pointed out, I've been thinking for this for a while, is that many, many agricultural farmers, especially dome house farmers, actually use CO2 generators to increase the crop. So if CO2 is so bad for the environment, how come they're not cracking down on these guys?
Good point. Well, I don't have the exact statistics in front of me, but I thought it was, from my recollection, and I'm being conservative, only 15 or 20% of all CO2 had to do with agriculture and ranching combined. And of that, only a few percent was meat. So a lot of it really is the transportation. And guess what? Guess who's the number one producer of CO2 and user of fossil fuels? U.S. military. So maybe that's a sign right there.
Exactly. And I guess Greta refuses to fly.
Oh, that's good. Be a nice little serf, a nice little servant for the global government. And then all the, rich billionaires have their own private yachts and helicopters.
Yeah, exactly. AOC wants to, like she's going to be running around in a bus like John Madden.
Like Madden. Oh, that's hilarious. The Madden bus, the AOC bus, spreading the climate AOC fear bus worldwide. Wherever, at least she can drive. She can't, you know.
Absolutely. What else is on your radar, man, on the financial scene?
So real quickly, I'm not going to get too much into the nitty gritty, but there's something called an overnight repo or repurchase agreement. Those that have been following the financials news lately might have seen that the Federal Reserve is getting back into the business of propping up the market to the tune of $50 to $100 billion per day. Now, these roll over, so it's essentially they put it in $50 to $100 billion, they get it back the next night, but then they put it in again. It's supposed to be emergency, temporary. It is not. And here is the key thing, and I talked about this on my show with Future Dan this past Thursday night. There are only 24 banks that have access to this emergency, quote unquote, emergency overnight repo tool with the New York Federal Reserve. And guess what? They're all the banksters you ever heard, pretty much. JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup. But there's a few we've never heard of, including some based in Japan and some based in Canada and France. So these are the U.S. arms of these banks, but they essentially, the Federal Reserve is subsidizing and supporting these foreign banks, let alone what they're doing with the domestic. So, well, you know, the upshot of all of this, the Fed is having to dip its toe back into quantitative easing. It's starting to lower rates again. It's supposed to be an emergency action that they you know, after Lehman Brothers, etc. They said they were going to turn it all around and get back to normal interest rates, et cetera. They tried that for about 12, 18 months. Now they're reversing course hardcore. And in particular, this repo operation, it's pretty complicated, but it all comes down to this. The Ponzi scheme is running out of fuel to keep building. Every Ponzi scheme has to keep growing or it dies. It's starting to kind of fall in on itself now, and the Fed is having to get back in there and prop it up. So that is a rumble. That's a big tremor that might lead to something big down the road.
Right. And what's Bitcoin doing?
Bitcoin is still about doubled year to date. So if you bought some in January, you would have doubled your investment. However, it's down about 30% from its highs in July. So it started the year about 3,500. It peaked at about 13,000. Mm-hmm. But now it's down to about 8,000. So it's similar. Bitcoin is like this. It has these huge ramp ups. If you buy it that high, he could be in trouble. It's going to drop. It's going to drop for maybe upwards of a year or more, but then it may ramp back up. If you want my advice, I would buy a little bit if you haven't yet. If you do have some Bitcoin right now, I don't necessarily say buy, but I would hold. I would hold.
Are there any other alt currencies out there that look promising?
Gold and silver are always my favorites. They're in a nice bull run. They started the year about 1,200 for gold, now up to 1,500. Not a skyrocket like Bitcoin, but much more stable. And, you know, I like to have something I can hold in my hand, even though I think there is promise in these cryptocurrencies. Can't go wrong with some gold and silver.
Right, absolutely, gold and silver. And I guess silver's they're expecting a boom.
You know, we'll see what happens. There's still, in fact, just a month or so ago, major fines were levied against some of the major banks of outright manipulation of the paper gold and silver markets. So I believe they're still suppressing the prices, but we have seen 20%+ gain in both of them year to date. And by the way, both of them are all-time high in several currencies, such as the British pound and the euro. They're either at all-time high or near it. So remember, the U.S. dollar is still a reserve currency. We're still strong, but everyone else is collapsing around us. And, you know, I think it's time to hedge. Use those dollars while they're still valuable.
All right, Ben, it's always a great pleasure having you on the show. Give everybody your website and how to get a hold of you and listen to your work.
Absolutely. Best way to find us, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. And then wherever you find podcast, iTunes or Podcast Addict app, whatever, just search Patriot Broadcasting Network. We have a weekly show and we have a couple specials we throw in there each month. And it's a good time for all.
Sounds good. Everybody tune into his show. We'll be right back on the Awakening Liberty Show with my guest, Bill McGregor. Everybody stay tuned.
Bye, Sean.